This is the Radio Today programme, your weekly look at what's going on in the radio industry. Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. Coming up on this edition, forget Brexitcast, it's Geekcast, as we hook up with podcasters Chris Mason and Adam Fleming to talk about BBC Brexitcast. Also, James Cridland is here with his thoughts on FM chips in mobile phones. And in David Lloyd's Radio Moments, Grimmie announces news of his successor at Radio 1, Kid Jensen moves on from the station, and it's Happy Birthday Test Match Special. Radio
Today. The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio, the smarter way to make radio. Radio Today.
First, let's have a quick catch-up on some of the big stories of the week with Radio Today's Roy Martin.
Hello.
And we're here in person today.
We're touching each other. Let's.
Oh, ooh, get off.
There you go. Human.
We've met up in a Birmingham car park, which is roughly halfway between my house in Yorkshire and yours on the south coast.
And there's no delay between us speaking. It's fantastic. We can actually talk straight away after each other, or do you usually edit that out?
I usually edit that out, but I can see your mouth moving and hear the words coming out at the same time, and the acoustics of the car are great, aren't they? I think we should do it in the car every week.
You can't beat a good car for an acoustic. I see you brought your grandma with you as well.
Say hello, grandma.
Cheeky bugger.
She didn't like being called grandma. So what's going on this week?
Well, not a lot. I think it's been a bit quiet, really. Bank holiday and all that. We heard about some changes at Gold with Tony Dibbin leaving the station.
I was going to say, I hope it's quiet today because I've taken the day off to drive up here to see you. Tony is leaving Gold. He's been there for a long time. It's like 10 years or something, isn't it? On the breakfast show. So good luck, Tony. He's off to, well, we don't know what he's going to do, but we'll tell you first, hopefully, when we find out. Which leaves Gold, the question of what's happening with Gold. There seems to be a couple of like radio gossip type Twitter accounts set up recently. And one of them is suggesting Gold is going to be replaced by Heart Dance.
Okay.
So we don't know this. There appears to be, the only evidence is at Heart Dance on Twitter. So we'll see if that turns into anything. But I've said before that normally if Global have a Twitter handle that they're going to use in the future, they would lock it until it's time to use, and this one isn't locked, so it suggests that either it's not going to be called Heart Dance or it's not them that's got the Twitter domain. But whilst I'm on a roll, we've seen today that the Heart Dance name and logo has actually been registered with who registers trademarks?
Like the Intellectual Property Office, is it the IPO?
That's her, right? Yeah, she's registered on there. So it looks like something is going on with Heart Dance. And we shall find out, I'm sure, in the next few days. I think it's imminent.
So Gold is only on, it's on a couple of medium wave frequencies and local muxes. It's not on D1 nationally, so there's no space available nationally on digital radio for it disappearing, is there?
No, it was on D1 a few years ago, then over the years it's disappeared. And the most recent removal of services was that it went from DAB in London to DAB Plus in London. So it's gradually been wittering away over the years. It's on 4 AM frequencies across the country. And I suspect in the next month or so, it won't be on anything apart from maybe the app.
I suppose Heart 80s would work nicely on medium wave, I guess, if they want to extend the Heart brand.
It's like you've been looking at the rumours, Stuart. Yeah, that's the rumour. Heart 80s on AM in like Manchester and Nottingham and London and Derby, and maybe a new station called Heart Dance Toby Dance.
Toby Danstis.
That's it. Copyright it now.
Talking of Heart, obviously a lot of the presenters are finishing this week. Some of them finished last week, so a mix of breakfast and drive presenters disappearing.
I can't keep up. I really can't keep up. I want to, you know, retweet these people and wish them all good luck, but there's literally dozens and dozens of them, so good luck to everybody, and hopefully there's something else just around the corner.
And so Heart next week, and then it's going to be Smooth next. That's going to be happening, we think, late summer, early autumn. And they've already started with the schedule changes because Tina Hobley's going to leave in July the Smooth London Drive show.
Yeah, I think the two are unconnected personally. I think she's just had enough, or she's wanting to spend time with her family, as the official line says. So I don't think the two are connected. I think Global are now going to look for somebody else to do London Drive. And then, of course, the big news is who will do National Smooth Breakfast. once September rolls around. So, yeah, watch this space. It's all happening with Global at the moment. And then the other thing is Bauer. The rumour is that HITS Radio is going to be rolled out in... when did we start doing gossip? We normally do facts.
Yeah, it's turned into a gossip podcast this week. That's because there's no facts. There's no news this week, so we're just gossiping.
Yeah, so the other one is that HITS is going to be rolled out on the on some of the Bauer Heritage FM stations in the north in July. But that's come from a couple of sources. So we'll find out, no doubt, about half an hour before the staff, so we can write up the press release and tell everybody else.
Original music for this podcast was composed by McCasoid.
It certainly was. And we've got a few events coming up, the first of which, incoming in June, is Radio Days Europe's Podcast Day. It's happening on the 13th of June. Trevor is going to be there. Trevor Dan, remember him. He's back in good spirits after his health problems in recent months. And hopefully he's going to be on this podcast in a couple of weeks with another Radio Today roundtable, and then he'll be reporting from Radio Days Europe's Podcast Day later in June as well. The Community Radio Awards are open for entries. Another couple of weeks to get your entry in, just £5. 16th of June is the closing date, and then those awards will be in September time, I believe.
And of course, talking of awards, the ARIAs are back. They'll be happening in October. Details about the entry process for this year's awards coming soon. They usually open sort of June-ish. So, yeah, if you've got a spare hour or two at the moment and you're a producer that normally does award entries, then it might be worth getting your best bits together. Davina.
Lovely. Right, Chris and Adam are on from Brexit Cast in a moment. Nice to see you, and it's sunny through the car window.
I know, this is great. Can we go home now? Is that it? Back down the M5?
Yep.
And, yeah, okay.
Start the car.
Bye now.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionics Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionics Studio transforms everything about radio, except the way you make it.
It's Adam Fleming in Brussels, sat on my bed, which is actually where I do Brexit Cast from quite often.
And it's Chris Mason at Westminster on a late shift, which is where I do Brexit Cast quite often.
And it's Stuart Clarkson in the Radio Today Yorkshire studio, looking out my window at the canal, using my lovely browser-based system to connect to you in random places. So welcome to GeekCast, as we're going to call it, I think. That's probably,
Thank you.
Well, I'm feeling at home already.
So I'm really delighted to say on the programme we've got two of the presenters from one of the country's biggest podcasts right now, Adam and Chris from BBC Brexit Cast, of course, and we join you in the busiest of busy weeks. But we say this every week, it's always a big week in politics, but every week it gets bigger and better. What an exciting time to be talking about this stuff.
Yeah, and this week has been especially... Oh, see, look, we're talking over each other already.
You go first, Adam.
I was going to say, and it's an especially big week this week because it was the European Parliament elections and the bigwigs gave us an amazing showcase, which was to do the election night programme on Radio 4 and 5 Live and the World Service and BBC Local Radio, which was a big honour, actually, and just quite a lot of talking, frankly.
Yeah, you took over pretty much the entire world, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, it was an honour because, I mean, the kind of overnight election programmes are usually the kind of domain of the kind of mega fauna of the broadcasting world, you know, with Jim Naughty and Carolyn Quinn and Rachel Burden and all sorts of big people who get poached from big breakfast shows and do the big swanky thing. Then they asked us and it happened. Yeah, it was a delight and it was a lot of fun. And we were sort of very well looked after because the guy called Chris Hunter, who is one of the editors of the BBC's election night programmes, who has done it for the last 10 years. He was telling me at stupid o'clock this morning when we'd finished. And I certainly felt, and I'm sure Adam would reflect the same thing, just sort of very well looked after, that we were kind of standing on the shoulders of a giant who knew what he was doing. Because at various stages, I wasn't quite sure that I knew what I was doing. But to look through the glass and see somebody who did was mighty reassuring.
And you've both been talking about politics on the telly and the radio, but this Brexit Cast thing has really kind of almost put you both on the map. And it came off the back of the election thing. So it's nearly 2 years ago now when you were doing Election Cast, and then that kind of finished and you had to find a way to do something different with it.
Election Cast was a sort of pilot project for the 2017 election that lots of us sort of dipped into. Just before the election, I got my job in Brussels and I was chatting to Dino, the producer, who's become quite well known in his own right now as well, producer Dino. And I was actually saying, well, when I'm going for my job interview for this Brussels job, I'd like to pitch a podcast that I could do and be involved in about Brexit. And he said, oh, well, why don't we just take Election Cast and rename it something else? Didn't have a name for it at that point, and make it about Brexit. And I could do it from Brussels if I got this job, and Chris could do it from London, and it would work really well because we knew each other and we were quite good pals and we were quite comfortable with just having a chat and that being the product. And that's how Brexit Cast, the idea, came about. It was actually just a potential idea for a job interview.
And it was just the two of you at first, wasn't it, without Katya and Laura?
Yeah, because I think this all sounds quite pompous because Adam and I have sort of never sat down and discussed this as some sort of broadcasting philosophy. But I think broadly, well, firstly, as Adam says, we've known each other for, frighteningly, about 20 years. And we're at journalism school together, and even bumped into each other as undergrads when we were sort of rival student newspaper editors. And I suppose, broadly speaking, we've kind of got the same outlook on how you go about talking about politics on the telly and the radio, which is kind of, you know, you take it serious. This is a kind of mantra on the podcast now. We take the story seriously. We don't take ourselves too seriously. And you try and do it in a human and conversational and informal way. And you can be serious and informal. Those two things are not contradictory. And I kind of think sometimes political broadcasting assumes that you have to be formal in order to be serious and serious in order to be formal. But anyway, we kind of mucked around for a few months, and I don't think anyone was listening within or outside the BBC in any great number, which meant we could sort of experiment. Funnily enough, actually, when we were listening back to some of our early episodes recently, we realised we thought we were really informal when we started. Actually, we were quite wooden. And then kind of by accident, we got Laura and Katya on. There was no kind of formal process, not least because if there had been, the answer would probably have been no. And then they kind of enjoyed it, which was great, you know, and loved talking. And Laura has got, you know, a kind of notebook in terms of the stuff that she gleans from politicians and the parties and what's going on at Westminster that is just groaning with stuff. And, you know, there's no BBC outlet that can accommodate all the stuff in her notebook, because if she goes on the Today programme for 3 or 4 minutes, well, it's 3 or 4 minutes. And if she goes on the 10 o'clock news, it's probably 1 minute or two maximum. Whereas on Brexit Cast, she can just... Oh, I nearly said the phrase that Adam doesn't like. She can talk a lot forever, wang on forever. And she does, and she can. And Katya can do the same. And Adam can do all of his stuff with all of the binders and all of that. And, you know, and it can sort of find a place. And the wonderful thing that's been really nice about it is that we've now got to the stage, I think, where even if one of us doesn't necessarily have a huge amount to say, and bluntly, that can often be me, because it's very rare I've got something to say that Laura can't say or doesn't say or doesn't know. Because we're now a bit of a gang, and the listener, I think, kind of values that, then there's the kind of story of us four and what we've been up to and what we're doing, as well as the story of Brexit. And there's kind of two, hopefully, now sitting alongside each other is what keeps people, hopefully, coming back.
Yeah, and a lot of people have cited that kind of informal style. Do you ever slip into the wrong style when you're doing something formal on the news channel, Adam, and think, oh, I shouldn't be talking as casually as this?
Oh, yeah, it does actually happen. And I remember doing the 10 o'clock news a few months ago, and Hugh Edwards was presenting, and at the start of my answer, I said, oh, hi, Hugh, which a few years ago I probably would have got in trouble for, but I got away with it this time. And I think what I've loved about doing Brexit Cast is it's made me a lot more confident in my broadcasting elsewhere. Because once you've talked about a subject for 45 minutes, and you've had Laura asking you questions about what you know about something, and also you just get so immersed in a subject, it has given me a real kind of confidence boost for everything else I do. Because in the old days, you think, oh, what if John Humphreys throws me a curveball question and I don't know what to answer and I sound like an idiot on the Today programme? Actually, I now know that, well, yeah, sounding like an idiot is okay.
This is where two sort of things come together, both the thing we did on the election special, where there was that sense of, ooh, you know, the podcasting pipsqueaks are being allowed out on the big show. But then there's also the kind of confidence thing. But actually, you know, picking up on that thing that Adam was mentioning about saying, hi, Hugh, I kind of think, and it's back to this informal thing, that I kind of think we live in this age of informality now in terms of, you know, YouTube videos and podcasts and all the rest of it. And that the tone of podcasts, which is broadly speaking very conversational, is going to quite quickly wash into the kind of linear broadcasting thing in the way that, I don't know, the kind of tone of LBC originally and then Five Live when it launched in the 90s had an influence on the sound of Radio 4. And there was this broad process of things becoming a bit more informal. And I kind of think it shows how far we have to go when Adam's saying, "Hi, Hugh," at the start of what is meant to be a conversation can seem so radical. It seems to me that shows how far we have to go in being willing to talk like human beings more often and on more outlets.
The thing is, I suppose the listeners and the viewers don't really see you like human beings when you come up and do a 1 minute hit on the 10 o'clock news or whatever. People don't hear Laura and you and Katya and Adam all just chatting, and that's part of its appeal, isn't it?
Yeah, I think people have quite enjoyed seeing an insight into just what our lives are like as journalists. I mean, that makes it sound like I'm a Z-list celebrity. I don't mean it like that. But I just mean the actual process of getting the stories and speaking to the people who give you information and actually what it feels like to be there. Because I think we've got this amazing privilege of having this ringside seat to history, cliche, cliche, cliche. And actually, most people don't get that privilege of being there when something dramatic happens or Farage says something explosive or there's a massive day at Westminster. And so what BrexitCast gives us the opportunity to do is really put people like in our ringside seats so that the people who listen to the podcast get to kind of come along with us and get to be part of that whole experience. Because, I mean, it's really exciting, and our jobs are really good fun and really interesting. And it's great to sort of share that with people. And so the podcast is as much about what the experience of living through this story is like as much as it is about the detail and the information and the stories.
I think that's right. And I think what was really striking fairly early on was that the most consistent kind of remark, if you like, from people who left reviews online about BrexitCast was seeing Laura in three dimensions. Because, you know, when you're a political editor, it comes with a certain weight. Perhaps there isn't quite the same scope for the mucking about that Adam and I might do when you're sort of relative pond life in the sort of food chain of political reporting. But providing Laura's BrexitCast does with this platform to be a lot more expansive, but also to be therefore kind of more rounded, because you obviously can be in that sense when you're talking for half an hour as opposed to being very sort of punctual in getting your message across in a couple of minutes. Yeah, allows people to see the whole process in three dimensions, the kind of quirks of the news gathering process, the frustrations of it, the how unpredictable it can be, hanging around waiting for people. You know, we've always had fun with, you know, Adam's little videos chasing Michel Barnier, the EU's chief Brexit negotiator, down the street. You know, the binders that Adam talks about, all the documents that he's building up around the whole Brexit process. And then I think, because I guess this is part of the idea behind BrexitCast and more broadly the kind of BBC Sounds project and the BBC's embracing of podcasts, is that kind of chasing of an audience that the BBC needs to get better at attracting. And in so much as you can measure this, and you know it's quite hard obviously, but anecdotally it does seem like we are drawing in a younger audience. I was nervous at one point. I thought, are we just super serving people who already, you know, listen to the Today programme and devour Nikki Campbell's phone-ins and Newsnight and all the rest of it? And there's probably some of that amongst the BrexitCast clientele, BrexitCasters, as we call them. But I think there's also a decent chunk of people who are a lot younger than the typical listener or viewer to a lot of our other stuff. So in that sense, hopefully, you know, you're reaching a different audience.
And never mind covering the election, you ran your own campaign and ended up winning the popular vote at the Podcast Awards.
Yeah, you know what, Stuart? I think what was really interesting about that, as somebody who spent most of my professional life reporting on politics, is that the whole grubby business of going out and trying to get votes is, you know, I spent my life holding to account and scrutinising people whose very professional existence depends on, you know, the popular vote. And when you're actually in the business of having to go out and get votes, as opposed to, you know, that far more civilised process of being nominated by your peers and then selected by your peers in some sort of dictatorship style equivalent, you know, I was thinking, oh gosh, you know, I'm blushing here, hawking yet another tweet, desperately begging for votes.
But you did it and it worked.
I overcame my blushes to type out yet another tweet. But, you know, it is wonderful to get to win something that is based on the, you know, on the listener. Because ultimately, you know, cliche again, but, you know, we're nothing without the listener. And, you know, praise from peers is wonderful, but to win something when somebody's had to faff about going to a website and typing in the right thing and hitting submit and all that when there's a billion and one things people can do is lovely.
And you went to pick it up, Adam?
Yes, I forewent the Eurovision Song Contest. Watching it on telly, I should say. I wasn't going to go to Israel to go to the ceremony on Saturday and pick up the award. But there was a really embarrassing bit where me and Dino were sat on the end of the row, and sitting next to us was the cast of My Dad Wrote a Porno, and they'd got up to go and present the previous award. So they were coming back to their seats when they were announcing the listener's choice. And of course, me and Dino had to get up to let them into their seats. And I thought, this looks so presumptuous. Like, we're assuming we've won. And so everyone, as they were announcing it and saying that we'd won, I was actually saying to everyone around us, we're just letting them get in back into their seats. We're just being polite. We're not being presumptuous. And of course, Dino made us record a podcast as I was going up and picking up the awards. So it was multimedia at that point.
You're all in different places, so it's quite a technical nightmare to bring you all together for this podcast.
I mean, it's not a technical nightmare, but what is amazing and what really allows us to make BrexitCast is technology. The fact that we can record it on Lucy Live and you have a meeting via WhatsApp, and then Dino can put it all together on his laptop, on a train, or in the back of a car, or frequently in his own bed at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I just think that is the massive thing that has allowed us to be able to make it. And I think 5 years ago, maybe even 3 years ago, the technology wouldn't quite have been there, and you would have needed SMs and headsets and ISDN lines and things like that. So so we're very grateful for the technology that means we can just pop up wherever we are and do it. And we're incredibly grateful for all Dino's hard work, because we think we stay up late after a summit or whatever recording a podcast, but he's up for another 2 or 3 hours afterwards to polish it and make us sound good.
I think that's true about the technology, because I think it helps on both the things that hopefully BrexitCast is sort of vaguely all about. It editorially, it allows you to do a podcast if we can find the time at the right moment, because something's happened and therefore let's do one now, for instance, the old klaxon being sounded and us doing one other than our weekly Thursday affair, which is when we tend to normally record. But secondly, it allows us to be more obviously sort of three-dimensional human beings, because Adam's at home in bed or whatever.
You're just climbing out of a bin.
Well, exactly. So in that sense, and so it's not always... Well, it allows you to break free from the usual kind of infrastructure of broadcasting, which I think kind of in and of itself kind of starts imposing all of that stuff that we're trying to shake off. You know, the formality, the in the studio stuff, the wearing a particular set of clothes stuff, all that kind of thing. You know, it allows you to sort of shake that off. And I suppose we take the technology for granted. But the only thing we have as far as, an editorial meeting is concerned is basically a WhatsApp group that says, when is everybody around?
And then Dino saying stop talking.
Oh yeah, and that. Yeah, Dino saying stop talking, and then us stopping talking about 15 minutes after that.
And you mentioned the Brexit casters. You've got some celebrity Brexit casters. You know, people like Simon Mayo and Mark Kermode have been talking about you. You've got a lot of top-end politicians that listen to you as well. So you're quite influential these days.
Oh, I wouldn't use the word influential.
No, I'm not sure I'd go as far as influential, but it's funny how people are rather keen to come on it now. So it's all right, when I was in the studio at Broadcasting House doing the radio special, three guests, mind you, we did have a lot of guests on in the context of 5 hours, but three guests made a point of ignoring the fact that the red light was on and just saying to me at various points, can I come on BrexitCast? And they were saying that whilst Adam was doing an interview with someone out in Brussels, whilst we were doing a bit of shimmying around and moving guests around. And two of them made a point about how part of their pitch to come on was that they were good fun, they said. So they'd obviously listened and thought that was an obligation if you were going to come on. And actually, a current minister came across to me in Parliament the other day, hawking himself to come on BrexitCast. You know, which is quite, it's nice, that people want to be able to sort of come on, and hopefully there's a space. I mean, most of the time we don't do interviews, it tends to be just the four of us chatting, but that when people do, that you can see politicians in, well, firstly there's the space for people to sort of set out what they believe and all the rest of it, but secondly they can be a three-dimensional human being, which I think the nature of news perhaps inevitably crunches people down into 15-second sound bites or whatever, and in a longer form thing, you can sort of, hopefully people can be seen in the round.
My dream for the Tory leadership contest is that when it gets down to the final two candidates who are whittled down by the MPs before they are then voted on by the party activists, is that instead of a big TV debate between the final two, watched by millions, we have a Brexit cast Brexit quiz with the two final candidates. So that's what I'll be pushing for in the next few weeks,
which would be sensational. But what they now know, these candidates, because Adam revealed this the other day on Brexit Cast, is that if they were to agree to such an invitation, they would be scrutinized in a conversation revolving around details in Adam's binders about the withdrawal agreement. Now, which would be, you know, good sport, etc., etc., but may also be a barrier to entry to them saying yes, because Adam knows one heck of a lot about those documents. And we know from testing esteemed people in the Westminster jungle, Keir Starmer came on a few months ago, that, well, there are those who don't know as much about it as Adam, to put it mildly.
Well, you're both obviously big geeks on the detail of Brexit and politics as well, but a lot of our listeners might not know that, Chris, you're a big radio geek as well. And while people might expect you to be listening to nothing but political programmes on Radio 4 and 5 Live, you like nothing more than a bit of Beely on Heart.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So I was one of these sort of nerds. I do a lot of weird and wonderful shifts and a lot of late shifts, so where you're finishing work at sort of gone midnight and you're trying to do that ridiculous thing of relaxing efficiently, which, in case you've ever tried it, is impossible. You're trying to cram what you would normally do in an evening, sort of unwinding from work, into the time it takes you to get home and then creep into a dark house where you don't want to wake anyone up. So you don't want news. So as much as I'm a fan of Rod and Dotton on 5 Live, I don't really want to be listening to up all night when I've just finished 10 hours of news. So yeah, Simon Beale on Heart is my listening of choice on the way home. And last night, as I came home from the special, where we'd come off the air at 3 a.m, then we'd recorded some links for a Brexit Cast kind of best of the night thing, managing to distill 5 hours of rambling into about half an hour. There I was in the taxi going home in the light at sort of 5 a.m. And so I do my thing and fire up the Heart app, the Global Player app, I'm sure they'd be delighted for me to describe it as. And there was Simon Beale. And because it was a bank holiday, I'm really indulging in my nerdiness now. He was sitting in for, he had done his own show between 1 and 4, and then he was sitting in for Jenny Falconer on Early Breakfast, and so was still on at 5 to 5. And so I was able to tweet him and say, doesn't matter what time I finish a late shift, even if it is later than the time I would be going in if I was on an early, you're still on the radio. And there he was. So yeah, I did enjoy a bit of Chainsmokers and Maroon 5, and then I went to bed at about 5:30.
What happens when Brexit finishes? Is this podcast going to keep going on forever?
Well, the news at the moment suggests that there is a certain longevity to our genre of talking about Brexit on a podcast. But I suspect, I mean, to answer the question seriously, I hope we've kind of made the case that if there is ever a time where somebody editorially deigns that you could no longer call what we do Brexit Cast, then, you know, the BBC, with or without us four, because I suppose eventually we might all go and do something else, the BBC will have to do a political podcast of the type which is a kind of weekly digesty typey thingy, as opposed to the format, for instance, that Nick Robinson does, where he sits down with a politician and talks to them for 30 minutes, something that kicks around the themes of the week and where we are, and then perhaps pops up when something breaks. I'd have thought that would be a very odd space for the BBC to retreat out of if we ever get to the point where calling something Brexit Cast is no longer necessary.
Well, I've got a lot of sympathy for Dino now, because I'm going to have to edit all this. So I know what he has to put up with.
The Dino Sophos experience.
Well, great to catch up with you. Thank you for coming on and talking to Radio Today.
Thank you,
nice
Stuart.
To speak to you.
And what a joy to be on a week after Russ Williams, just to continue my nerdorama. That, you know, it's fantastic. Brilliant.
Speak soon.
See you. Bye.
Marvellous. Cheers,
bye, Chris.
See you, Adam.
Soon.
See you later.
Bye.
See you later. Bye.
And there they go. David Lloyd and James Cridland still to come. Quick word about clean feed first. If you're doing an OB, or maybe getting somebody on your podcast who's in a random location, clean feed is a great thing to try out. It's made for radio and podcasters, and it's really simple to connect in live quality audio over the web. You can even record right within the browser as well. CleanFeed won't cost you anything to get started. It'll only take you 30 seconds to get signed up, and within minutes, you'll be doing your first recording or live interview on your radio show. Find out more at cleanfeed.net.
I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist. I was in Canada recently and I heard a little bit of history, or so it seemed to me. Canadian radio executives were still openly banging the drum for FM chips in mobile phones, an argument I thought was long since dead. And I think it's time to stop deluding ourselves about the FM chip in phones. As devices, mobile phones already significantly underperform when it comes to live linear radio, whether streamed or delivered via FM. If you look at Rajar's Midas survey, for example, that shows live radio accounting for less than 20% of all audio consumed on a phone. It's the most interactive device we own. It's always within arm's reach. So it's not the ideal device for listening to an unpersonalized live radio stream. It's also not a great user experience either. There are no logos, virtually no metadata when listening to FM radio. And in Canada, like the US and Australia, even RDS signals are exotic things in many markets. And the very action of tuning into a radio station requires the listener to remember a random number, for no reason other than a historical anachronism. It's pointless on a mobile phone. Radio is most important in times of emergency, the radio companies will claim. But in reality, if an emergency or a big news story happens in the evenings or weekends, recent evidence of North American radio suggests that radio won't bother covering it anyway because there's nobody there. SMS and app alerts are far more effective at communicating immediate peril, like weather events or fire. So if radio had a part to play here once, it doesn't anymore. Now, the aftermath from emergency, as a community starts pulling things together, well, that's completely different, and that's where radio excels. But in any case, the technology is against an FM chip being installed in your mobile phone. The antenna used for FM or DAB Plus reception in a mobile phone is the headphone cable, something that now no longer exists in Apple phones or high-end Google phones, which use Bluetooth. Bluetooth headphones don't work very well with electronic measurement, too, because you can't plug them into your PPM. And those strong AM stations that exist in Canadian metro areas? Well, there's only ever been one mobile phone with AM built in, and the reason you don't know about it is that was 15 years ago and it was rubbish. Now, there's plenty of evidence that Canadian listeners use streaming rather less than their neighbours in the US. The Canadian radio companies could lean on the CRTC, the Ofcom equivalent, to more effectively regulate the price of mobile data from the cellular networks. But they won't, because the Canadian radio companies are the cellular networks. Indeed, the cellular networks are the folks calling the shots in terms of whether FM chips are enabled or not. But if the Canadian cellular networks aren't pressurizing the likes of Google and Apple for FM chips to be enabled, and let me remind you again, they also own the FM radio networks, then that points to a bigger issue. So let's use our energy and focus on delighting our audience, not trying to capture a magic unicorn that offers at best dubious benefit. You can get my weekly newsletter at james.crid.land and daily podcast news at podnews.net. And until next time, keep listening. And now, on the Radio Today programme, here's David Lloyd.
David Lloyd, remembers when.
It's just a year ago this week that Grimmers announced his departure from Radio 1 Breakfast and his successor.
Yeah, this is like the, yeah, this yeah. is like the,
we've been building to this.
This is the listen again moment, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah,
shared drive. So that's what's going to happen. I don't know the exact dates because I can never remember dates, but it's sort of Augusty, end of Augusty time.
Yeah,
there's going to be no me on the mornings.
Yep.
I'm going to be on it another time.
Yep.
And then someone else is going to be doing this show.
Oh.
Shall we meet that very special
yes.
person
Shall
now?
Shall I go and get he or she?
He or she. Well, whatever. They can be whatever they want. It's 2018.
Yes, we've been very modern time. Okay, I'll go and get him.
Yeah, go and get him. So, the person that is going to be waking you up in the morning, it's going to be like Freaky Friday. We're going to swap lives. Apart from we don't do Fridays. Gregory James. Good morning, dear.
Good morning, everybody.
How are you?
I'm well. I'm very well.
Nick Grimshaw with Greg this week in 2018. David Jensen's been on air and in print in recent months speaking of his Parkinson's disease. And it was this week, 31 years ago, that Kid, as he was then, left Radio 1.
We'll turn it back to the Kid and let him do what he would like in his last program on Radio 1. Hi, Kid.
Paul, thank you very much for that. And it's my last show. God, what a day I've had. It's been a really emotional day. I didn't realize I had so many friends around here. And it'll be the last time that Kid Jensen takes to the airwaves as well.
That's right, because you will revert to your real name after this.
That's right. What is it again? I've forgotten.
It's David Allen?
Horatio?
Yes, that's right. Cod Jensen?
Algernon? David Allen Jensen reigns from next week. But for now, it's Kid Jensen with the Four Seasons. Who loves you? I feel loved. Now, I couldn't do a farewell show without playing a Van Morrison track. I played a Van Morrison record on my first Radio 1 show and on my last now as well. This is Natalia.
Farewell, Kid Jensen, from Radio 1 prior to journeying to the States. He'd arrived at the BBC after a short spell at Trent. And it was Kid's voice on Radio 1 this week, 40 years ago, that announced the first live radio program from Moscow.
And it's via satellite now to Moscow, USSR we go, to join Andy Peebles, who's at the Rossiya Hall in Moscow. And Andy, you've arrived. What time is it right there now?
The time here now, Kid, is exactly 7:30, and I'm talking to you, as you so rightly say, from the Rossiya Hall here in Moscow.
Maybe you could set the scene for us.
Well, yes, I'll do that for you. Elton John tonight plays his second of four concerts in Moscow, having already done four incredibly successful.
The live trial OB via a NICAM 1 system on Radio 1 this week in 1979. And I think we should rightly credit the techies on this occasion.
The concert sound was by Clive Franks and Nick Blythe. The engineering for BBC Radio 1 by Anthony Pugh, Doug Taylorson and Mike Rushmore. And the stereo sound bounce was by Mike Robinson. Ross Kelly liaised and was our secretary, and the program was produced by Jeff Griffin. This is Andy Peebles in Moscow in the Soviet Union, handing you back to the BBC in London.
That same week, 40 years ago, in Ireland, RTE launched its second channel.
It will complement the existing national radio service, which had its origin in 1926 in that studio in Little Denmark Street, and which has been providing programs of the highest quality and standards. I'm sure that the people responsible for the new service will aim to achieve the same high standards in the areas it will cater for as have been achieved by Radio 1, and that the necessary reliance on advertising revenue to finance the new service will not have an adverse influence on these standards. This new service will not involve any increase in the existing television license fee, as RTE are confident that the extra costs will be met from advertisements.
The launch of RTE2 this week in 1979, and that announcement on funding preempting all the discussion from then till now, really. The station now has a weekday yesterday listening figure of 10% in Ireland, with RTE1 at 22. It's 14 years since London's Jazz FM closed. After 15 years, ready for a smooth future.
Hello, welcome along. If you've just joined us, this is Mark Walker at 102.2 Jazz FM, rounding off the weekend with some fine jazz. Marlena Shaw, Feel Like Making Love, and before that, Steve Tyrrell, and This Guy's in Love With You. Curtis Steiger's very soon will play you The Crazy Moon after Sarah Vaughan.
The last link on London's Jazz FM before it became smooth this week in 2005. Jazz FM, of course, now back on digital, owned by Bauer, and attracting 500,000 listeners in the UK. It's 62 years this week since the first Test Match Special. The programme was then aired on the BBC Third programme. In tribute, let's hear this again from Trent Bridge from just last year. A listener had emailed the programme to tell of their dad's life, illness and love for the programme, replete with cricket analogies. And then,
Dad was rushed to hospital on Thursday the 9th of August with another bad chest infection. On Friday, we were told that he had 24 to 48 hours to live, and that in fact he may never regain consciousness. On the Saturday, I visited Dad in hospital with my wife, and after an hour she had the inspirational idea of getting Test Match Special on my mobile. After 5 minutes, he opened his eyes and he was completely in the room and aware of us. He was able to convey that he was comfortable, he was at peace, and I was able to tell him what a wonderful father he is and just how much I love him. Not one comfortable with massive shows of emotion, after 15 minutes, he requested that we listen to the cricket. For 3 hours, we listened to Wokes crashing it about at Lord's and making his maiden Test century. We got a digital radio into Dad's hospital room, and he listened to Test Match Special the next day. and I don't think it's any coincidence that he passed peacefully just after England had sealed victory.
Test Match Special. The programme launched this week in 1957. So with Silk FM launching in Macclesfield 21 years ago...
Silk FM will broadcast 24 hours a day on 106.9 FM.
Katie Hopkins leaving LBC after a Twitter storm 2 years ago...
You talk about Theresa May being honest. I don't see a correlation between what you've just spouted off and what I asked.
Andrew Gilligan reporting on That Dossier on Radio 4's Today programme 16 years ago...
What we've been told by one of the senior officials in charge of drawing up that dossier was that actually the government probably knew that that 45-minute figure was wrong.
The pilot series of The Archers beginning from Birmingham 69 years ago.
Very well, let's have when Jones's hair was new.
I trust you to be thinking about drink, Mr. Gabriel.
Right, old Walter. The death of Nixie from Galaxy and Hallam 2 years ago.
Well, I'm really looking forward to the weekend because I'm coming over to Liverpool to see you on Sunday.
And the first UK local radio day 3 years ago. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thanks this week to regulars David, James and Roy, and to Adam Fleming and Chris Mason, who were on to tell us about their podcast, Brexit Cast Means Brexit Cast, and they've made a success of it. Next time we're going to hear from the former Mercia Gem and Free Radio PD Mike Newman on his first year working at Audio Boom and all the exciting things they're doing in the podcast and audio space. So join us for that.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macassio.